his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord.
As you're able to, please stand as we sing our first hymn, number 577, God of Grace and God of Glory. Thank you for remaining standing as we recite the Apostles' Creed together, number 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. This time, we like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. I don't believe I have any from my neck of the woods. Does anyone have any requests or praises they'd like to share? Yes, Morgan.
I'd like to say, praise God for answered prayers.
That's good. Okay. We're glad your surgery went well, and hopefully you'll be able to get your patch off soon, and we'll definitely pray for your friends and your family. Right. So you might as well just keep it on. Makes sense. Thank you for sharing, Morgan. Does anyone else have any requests or praises?
I have a request.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. We will. We'll pray for, what is his name? Tony? Cody. All right, we will pray for Cody's eye surgery to have his lenses replaced and his cataracts removed. I'm sure that will be a huge blessing for him. Does anyone else have any? Yes. Okay, we'll pray for Chris. And Sally, you had one. Okay, do you mind sharing her first name? What is it? Okay, I totally didn't get that. I'll get in a minute. Say it one more time. Corrine, there you go. All right. My ears don't work sometimes, so we will pray for her most recent hospital visit and for the healing of her fracture. Does anyone else have any requests or praises they would like to share? I have a praise on behalf of Clayton. Clayton gets shy sometimes, but Clayton had a friend who was in a car accident this past Wednesday, and he was quite concerned about him, but he was able to come through it with just some whiplash and things like that. So his name's, is it Grant? What is?
Garrett.
I knew it started with a G. His name is Garrett, so pray for him to have recovery from this whiplash and everything. Does anyone else have any they would like to share? All right, well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. Thank you for being a God who listens to prayers. Lord, today we especially want to pray for Chris, that you would be with him, that you would help him overcome all of his troubles and the things that are going on in his life. We pray also for Pat, that you would help her as she struggles to deal with these issues as well. And Lord, we also pray for Cody. We pray that this surgery would go well and that it would restore sight to him. We pray that you would be with him and with his doctors and with everybody involved. Help him to come through the surgery quickly, and may everything work out as it is intended to. We also pray for Corinne and for her healing, and we pray that she would be able to recover quickly from her broken bone. May you be with her, with her doctors, with her nurses, with all of her treatment team. And Lord, we also thank you that Morgan's surgery went well, and we pray for Morgan's family, that you would bless them in every way. Father, as we go forth in our worship service, we ask that you would remind us that worship is about you and not about us. We pray that we would hear your voice, that we would respond in a positive way. Help us to follow Christ all the days of our lives. We pray all these things in his beautiful and glorious name as we pray together the words that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, if the children would like to come forward, we will have our children's time. Good morning, Liam. Good morning, Liliana.
Good morning.
How are y'all doing this morning? Good. You're doing all right? Today, I want to talk just a minute about something that nobody likes, and that's patience. Who likes to wait for things? Anybody like to wait for things? You can tell Liliana doesn't like to wait for things. Do you like to wait for things, Liam? No, I don't like to wait for things either. You know, they say that patience is a virtue. I think the reason it's a virtue is because nobody wants it. But there's an interesting thing about patience. There's this principle that we adults sometimes practice where we go to Walmart and we see something on the shelf and we say, boy, I really want that. And we pick it up and we put it in the shopping cart and we walk around with it. And as we shop and we go around the store, we start to realize, you know, I've already got 15 of those. I don't need another one. I don't need to spend that money. And we practice patience to help us to decide what we want to do and what we don't want to do, what we need, what we don't want to, what we don't need. Because as people, we like to just have things immediately, you know? We like to take things, we see something, we want it, we don't want to save for it, we have to have it. But oftentimes, we get it and it's like, eh, okay, that was nice, what's next? You know, every Christmas it seems like you get something that you always wanted, you play with it for a little bit, and then, you know, you want to know what you're getting for your birthday. Jesus teaches that we should be patient and that we should trust God. And sometimes it's really difficult to do that. But I've found in my life that if you are patient, if you do trust God, a lot of the things you thought you needed, you don't actually need, but you do find things that make your life much better. So let's try and work a little bit on patience, maybe a little bit on our dance moves too. Would y'all like to say a prayer with me? Let's say a prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for children. Help us, Lord, to have faith like children. May you bless all children everywhere. And Lord, may you help us to all have patience. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, y'all can go back to Wonder Worship if you would like. We can't stay up here. Hi. Protest. I hope everybody can still hear me. I'm not sure I can hear myself with the feedback. Kind of forgot there was a speaker over there. I'm not sure. Was it? Well, that's good. Hey, at least we got it in the right key, right? If we're going to have an obnoxious noise, at least it's in the right key. If we could have our ushers come forward at this time, we will worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded, as always, that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Christ whose power upbraids. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Our next hymn is number 384, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Thank you for remaining standing for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Matthew writes, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age.' This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. So we've talked about three of the four famous disciples, if you will. The fourth one is obviously Judas, and we'll get to Judas. Today we're going to talk about a disciple who is not so well known. He's only mentioned a few times in Scripture. He's not actually ever mentioned outside of the Gospels. He doesn't have any writings that are credited to him. But he was the first disciple that Jesus called. Today we're talking about Andrew. Andrew is the younger brother of Peter. And it's interesting, anybody who has siblings, my brother unfortunately passed away when he was very young, and I was very young as well. But I've had cousins who are like siblings, and I get the dynamic a little bit. But people who have siblings understand that sometimes when you're the younger sibling, you live in the shadow of the older sibling. If the older sibling is really good, everybody expects you to be good like your brother or sister. If the older sibling is not so good, everybody blames you for their sins. And it can be difficult to be the younger sibling. Andrew was Peter's younger sibling, and we already know that Peter, well, Jesus named him Rock, and sometimes I wonder if it's because his head was really hard. Peter was loud. Peter was opinionated. Peter spoke without thinking. Peter tasted his foot quite often. And Peter was called to follow Jesus because of Andrew. Andrew was first called, and when he found Jesus, he and John were there together. He went to Peter and he said, "Peter, I think we found the Messiah." And Peter says, "Okay, that's great. You know, we've been following John the Baptist for a little while. We thought he was the Messiah. He said he wasn't. What qualifies this guy, you know?" But Peter came because he loved his brother Andrew. Andrew is the apostle of two things. Andrew is the apostle of evangelism, but he's also the apostle of small things. And in Andrew's life, in Andrew's witness, we see those two things come together. When we think about the Great Commission, when we think about evangelism, a lot of times what we think of is, for instance, Pentecost. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. Peter stood up. He preached this amazing sermon, and thousands of people decided to follow Jesus. We look at that and we say, "Wow, that's amazing." We think of people like D.L. Moody, who was one of the greatest evangelists of the 1800s. Through his evangelistic ministry, thousands upon thousands of people became Christians. In more modern time, we think of someone like Billy Graham. Through his crusades, thousands upon thousands of people became Christians. We hear stories of places where Christianity is really growing significantly in the world. And thousands upon thousands of people are becoming Christians. Just to give you an idea, last year, 2019, as many of you know, the United Methodist Church had a special called General Conference. And the African delegates were, I don't remember the exact number, but it was right around 50% were just from the continent of Africa. And there's not a lot of countries actually in Africa that the Methodist Church has a presence. So that makes it even more impressive. This next year, we're going to have our regularly scheduled General Conference. They already anticipate that the African delegates will increase to be somewhere around 55 to 60% of the delegates. That's a lot of people. If you think about it, a delegate is sent from a conference. And at our conference, we elected, I believe, 6 and 3 alternates, I believe is what it was. That's based on the size of our conference. So think about Africa as its own conference because the grouping is so small. And yet they make up such a significant part, and they are expected to make up an even more significant part in just a year. We look at that and we say, "Wow, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people following Jesus." And then we look around and we see churches are lowering their attendance, lowering their budgets. Some churches are closing. Some churches are merging together. People have better things to do on Sunday, they think. we say, what are we doing wrong? Some of us say, what's the pastor doing wrong? Some of us say, what's the pastor doing? But Andrew is the evangelist of small things. The very few times that Andrew is mentioned in Scripture, he's never mentioned in a negative way at all, ever. He's one of the few disciples that's mentioned outside of the list of disciples that doesn't have something bad said about him, at least once, right? But when Andrew's mentioned, he's always leading people to Jesus. He's always thinking beyond what the rest of the disciples are doing. I think that Andrew may have been the only disciple that didn't need to see the resurrected Jesus. We don't get that in Scripture, but Andrew seems to have been very solid. He's the first called. He called Peter and he said, come see the Messiah. At the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus is preaching. It gets to dinner time. The disciples say, we're out in the woods, Jesus. People are getting hungry. You need to send them into town so they can get food. And Jesus says, well, let's feed them. I mean, we're entertaining them, right? If you're the entertainer, you should be the provider of food. Let's feed them. Judas looks in the money bag because he had the money bag. He says, well, all we got is 200 denarii, which is about 8 months' wages. That's a lot of money, but it's not going to feed all these people. And the disciples are trying to figure out, how are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? What are we going to do? And Andrew brings a little boy to Jesus. And he says, this little boy brought his lunch, and he's willing to share it. Look, Andrew wasn't stupid. He knew that this little boy's lunch couldn't feed all those people any more than 200 denarii could buy food to feed them. But it shows that Andrew believed that if you took people to Jesus, that Jesus would fix the problem. Andrew believed in one-on-one relationship evangelism. Andrew didn't preach to people and convert thousands. We only know for sure of one conversion that Andrew was responsible for directly, and that was Peter. Indirectly, he was responsible for thousands. Indirectly, Andrew, by using his relationship with his brother and telling him about Jesus, is the reason that we're here today, at least part of it. Because without Peter, there's no Pentecost sermon. Without the Pentecost sermon, I'm not saying the church would have died, I don't believe that, but it would have been a much slower start. We don't have anything about Andrew elsewhere in Scripture. We don't really have much about him in the historical record, but there are some traditions, some church traditions about Andrew. And one of the most beautiful ones to me is what happens at Andrew's death. The most reliable traditional story says that Andrew made a relationship with a Roman governor's wife and converted her to Christianity. The Roman governor wasn't happy about that. You didn't convert to Christianity in early Rome. He tried to get her to recant. But something about Andrew's preaching to her about Jesus helped solidify that faith. And she said, I'm not going to recant. Forget it. Get out of here with that nonsense. Get out of here with that. So the governor did what any good Roman governor would do. He had Andrew crucified. But he did it in even a more cruel way than they did to Jesus. Rather than be nailed to a cross, Andrew was tied to a cross, and he was left to hang and die of exposure. And tradition says that while Andrew was dying, while he was hanging there, this slow, horrible, agonizing death, everybody that came by, he told them about Jesus. He told them about God's love. He told one person at a time about God's love. Because Andrew understood, Peter's the one with the big mouth. But I can talk to one person. We live in what is becoming what the sociologists like to call a post-Christian culture. It's not as dire as it sounds, but that's what sociologists call what Europe is currently experiencing and what America is starting to experience. And in a post-Christian culture, what winds up happening is that people have a lot of baggage with Christianity, but not a lot of knowledge, right? It's like if you went to the airport and you checked your bags, and then you got off the plane wherever you landed, and you just grabbed a bag, you don't know what's in it. You didn't check to see if it's actually your baggage. You don't know what's in it. You just know it's heavy, and you know what to complain about. And you complain and all this, and you have all this baggage, right? But you don't know what's in it. You have no knowledge of it. You don't know anything. And if somebody comes along and tells you what's in it and you believe what they say, you might be getting mad at a bag filled with dirty clothes when actually the bag is filled with gold bullion. But you don't take the time. That's what happens in post-Christian societies. People know what Christianity is, but they don't know who Jesus is. That makes evangelism difficult because everybody wants to argue and everybody has preconceived notions and everybody thinks they know. But Andrew teaches us. The Great Commission says to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And Andrew teaches us that Jesus doesn't expect you to convert them nation by nation. Some people will have amazing evangelistic ministries. Some people will preach and 3,000 people will convert in one day. But I can tell you in my own time, I've been a Christian for about 22 years now. And as far as I know, there have probably been 3 to 5 people who've converted to Christianity because of my witness. There might be more. It's not something I ask about. I trust God to take care of those things. But what if I had never talked to them about Jesus? What if I had never shown them through my life and through my actions, with all of my failings and with all of my just craziness that goes on? What if I had never shown them what a Christian looks like? What if I had never told them, hey, you know what? Jesus doesn't want you to be perfect. He wants you to be perfectly in Him. Brothers and sisters, you can grow any church, anywhere. The church seems to work really great in very hostile situations, but it grows anywhere that people take the time to choose somebody they love and invite them to church. Show them Jesus. Act like Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. You don't have to convert thousands of people. People are not notches to put on your spiritual belt to take before God when you get to heaven and say, look how many got saved. We don't do the saving. The Holy Spirit does the saving. We do the presentation. Every person in this church can be Andrew. Every person in this church knows one person in their life that they love, that they could invite to church, that they could be Jesus to, that they could act like a true Christian to. Everybody does. We all do. We average between 40 to 50 on a Sunday, depending. Imagine if each one of us picked one person, prayed for them, and deliberately, intentionally showed Jesus to them. That means you double your numbers. And then if those people became disciples and started learning what it was like to follow Jesus, and they did the same thing, and you keep doing the same thing, you double your numbers again. But understand this, it's not about numbers. Jesus doesn't say, go into all the world and get as many people as you can to show up on church on Sunday morning. He doesn't say that. He says, make disciples. Making disciples takes time and effort. You do not go into 12th grade without having gone through kindergarten through 11th. If you send a 5-year-old into 12th grade, unless they're the greatest, most amazing prodigy that has ever existed, they won't know what in the world is going on. But if you start them even before kindergarten and you disciple them, by the time they get to 12th grade, they make all A's. Or at the very least, they do the best they can with what they have. Make disciples. Find one person. If you feel like you're not good enough to make a disciple, then disciple yourself. Come to Bible study. Read. Ask me questions. Ask other people questions that you trust in the faith. Learn what you believe. And when you know what you believe, you'll realize that Andrew believed not that a little boy's lunch could feed 5,000 people, but that when you bring someone to Jesus, Jesus can fix the problem. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Help us to be like Andrew. We may never be Peter. We may never be John or James. We may never even be Judas. But we can all be Andrew. Help us to make disciples for the furthering of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for our final hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 526.
Sins and griefs to bear.
often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Anywhere, we should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find our friends so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every wish. The Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake? And shield thee, thou wilt find a solace there.
And now receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you follow Jesus, making disciples of just one person. And may Jesus Christ bless you with his peace, which surpasses all understanding. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're dismissed. Go in peace.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord.